listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life. I am brought to you in part by the...
You're brought to you. You personally is brought to you?
Shut up.
You haven't even had a sip of your drink.
I know. We are brought to you by HopChart.com.
HopChart?
Do you want to do it?
No, you're doing a bang-up job.
Okay. We're brought to you by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is the irreplaceable Evan.
I'm just enjoying the fact that you're...
Be careful. I'm going to stab you, like, really hard with a butter knife.
Yeah. What do you want from me? But
we have ventured back into Uptown.
We have.
To a restaurant called Renata.
You want to say that properly?
No.
Okay.
Renata. That's about as Minnesotanized as I can get it. Mm-hmm. It's right on Hennepin, just south of where we did the Red Savoy episode.
That's true.
And the Galoonies episode.
Which, weirdly enough, is the same location.
Yep. Tiny place.
Yeah, I would say maybe 50 people here, 50, 60.
Yeah, maybe. It's going to be
tight.
A tight fit.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
I'm ashamed of you.
But it's,
I shouldn't be, but I am.
It's kind of a classic Italian bistro type. Going with it. That's olive tapenade.
Oh, then skip that.
Yep. You're welcome. I was just going to let you go, but because
I wasn't sure what it was.
Because I'm a caring co-host, I didn't let that happen to you.
Well, you're a good friend.
You think I ain't. But, how you doing?
I'm okay. We had planned on doing this place for restaurant week, which was last week. And for some reason you had convinced yourself it was still today. Still on Monday.
Yeah.
Still going through Monday.
Bad call on my part. I completely apologize. The restaurant week was a bit of a clusterfuck for me altogether, considering
it's true.
The massive mess up on the restaurant last week, ownership group.
That wasn't massive, that was humorous.
It was not very good.
Nah. Oh well.
I was embarrassed. How about that?
Well, and I'm embarrassed for you, but...
You're like the bestest co-host ever.
I am.
You know that?
I am.
But...
Very good bread.
Yeah, we're back. We're back to the original plan. We'll put it that way.
Yes.
And already, just off of the bread, it's better than last week. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It starts with a good... bread plate or bread bowl or whatever the fuck it is with an olive oil with an olive tapenade.
I think one might call it a bread selection.
No, I think it's all the same. I think it's all the same bread.
If I were a jerk, I'd just mess up this all the olive into the olive oil for you.
That's fine.
That's the thing. You like olive oil, but you don't like olives.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm a complex guy.
You are.
Yep. The bread itself is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just kind of a country loaf, but
yeah.
But
good flavor.
The meat of the bread is very very chewy. Good texture to it. But what kills me is that crust. I don't know what they did on the crust, but it's like it's kind of like it's a pretzel.
Like kind of got a little salt in that garlic.
Yeah, there's a saltiness. I don't get so much of the garlic, but there's a saltiness to it and a crispness to it. That's all I think of is a pretzel, which is good. I mean, I love pretzels. I haven't had a good pretzel in a while. How is your girly drink, sir?
It's very good actually. would be what one might call a panty dropper, if you will.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is, don't taste a lick of alcohol in it. Not even a lick. But I'm almost sure, just by the amount of burn in the back of your throat, that there's a significant amount in there. And that after about two or three of these, you're on the floor.
So you're saying I'm getting lucky tonight?
You're getting lucky tonight.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. What did you get?
Oh, I thought I said.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just said that it was a pain to drop.
No, it's a Prosecutini, which has Prosecco and vodka. And I believe a house-made bitter in it as well.
Mm. Excellent.
That's very good.
And yeah, for once, I'm going the beer route, sort of.
Don't ever do that again.
What?
That is not beer, what you just got.
Really, Mr. Prosecutini, you're going to give me crap about my drink?
Uh-huh. There's a lot of strong alcoholic flavors in that. Thank you very much.
Would you like some fresh cut pepper?
No, thank you.
Enjoy.
You win.
I went with the cider, which I think is. See, here is my justification or rationale for cider as a proper manly drink. Do you know who drinks a lot of cider?
Who's that?
Soccer hooligans.
But they also are soccer hooligans.
Yeah. But can you think of something more manly in the traditional sense than someone who is willing to beat up and possibly kill another person over a sport?
I don't get your argument.
Well, that's because you're dumb.
Well, good comeback there, sir.
I was on the debate team.
You were.
If we had one, I would have done it on this last piece of bread. Because I win that argument, and the winner gets bread. No, I have no compunction of saying that cider is a fine, manly drink. And I'm going the original sin. Mm. It's very good. It's very light.
Mm-hmm. As most ciders are.
Yeah. I would put this just a little bit lighter than a Strongbow. I don't know why I'm telling... See, this is for the people that listen, not for your uncultured, unsophisticated ass.
It's for the people that don't have any taste buds.
You're drinking a dark red drink.
Yeah.
And eating crushed up olives. As far as I'm concerned, your taste is not... Is negligible.
Mankind revoked.
Is negligible.
Revoked.
Mm. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I don't recall having Original Sin ever.
The name is familiar. It seems like I've heard it before, but I can't place where I heard it before. Could have just been in the liquor store.
Yeah. One thing I will give credit for is that the carbonation on it is fairly mild,
okay.
Which sometimes is a problem with ciders.
Yeah,
they're just a little too that tartness that you just get, and it's hard to try to really really suck it down. Mm-hmm. But this does not have that issue. So solid. So continuing your tour into manhood here, you got a very very, very fruity salad.
Mm-hmm. And you should try it, actually.
Okay.
It's beet salad with fennel and arugula and a little bit of shaved parmesan on top.
Okay.
It's very good. What do you think?
How's the beet salad?
Very good.
Give me a second. Not you. No, you're fine.
I gotcha. And then
That's a complex
I don't know how I feel about that.
What don't you like?
I don't even know if it's not a liking part to.
Not quite in your wheelhouse type of deal.
She was fine. She was absolutely fine. I mean,
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it that. There's a... It was a good mix of crispness, I think is the right word, or the doneness, the texture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's the when the beets are on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Fennel.
It's the fennel. Oh, it's fennel. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the fennel is basically uncooked.
Mm-hmm.
Which compared to the beets is a little bit of a crunch to it. It's good. It's very it's surprisingly refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not necessarily something you want when it's 20 degrees out, though.
I agree.
It's definitely a summer salad.
Yeah, but it's still tasty.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You want the next generation here. I will continue to destroy the bread.
Destroy the bread, and, you know, if you're not dropping something, you're crushing something or
mm-hmm.
hurting someone.
If they rarely hurt any people.
Feelings. Feelings.
I like to contain my
feelings.
I don't care about feelings. Feelings, like prosecchettini, are for the weak.
Do you want to try it?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Because it's damn tasty.
I'm sure it is. That's why I don't want to try it.
Are you sure?
And you know, I would lose my moral high ground if I enjoyed it. You really need the pinky there?
I do.
You really need to extend pinky, the pinky?
Your pinky is out, boot in the boot.
Would you like some bread?
Sure.
Try not to be too excited about the...
It was good bread.
It was
you.
Good bread. It was
and
good
it's
bread.
Free.
You know, and it is free.
In fact, cancel my bucatini. Just bring me more bread.
Fetch me more bread.
Fetch me...
Additional bread.
Bread wench. So you had a big day out.
I had a big day out yesterday.
On Saturday.
Sunday.
Oh, was it Sunday?
Yes.
Well, it was Saturday and Sunday the show was.
The show was.
It? Yeah.
But Sunday was the only day I could get tickets for because it sold out Saturday.
Mm.
And I was very excited to go.
Thank you.
I went to the Minnesota Monthly Food and Wine Experience. And I've had relatives and coworkers that have gone to it before when it was held at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And this year, they changed it up and it was at Target Field, which is the new Twins Stadium.
Yep.
In downtown Minneapolis. Beautiful facility. Just absolutely gorgeous. You know, when you think about a ballpark, you don't think about holding events like that.
Mm-hmm.
If there was ever a more perfect place to hold an event like that. There's a ton of glass, beautiful views of the entire downtown.
We talked about how the Target Field in general is kind of the new stand, not maybe not new standard, but that's what I'm looking for, a thing to strive for when it comes to sophisticated eating at a ballpark.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me that it would host
right.
a place like this and well.
Well, the facility was the biggest thing. You know, it was very easy. It was a lot of it was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't crowded like Winterfest is crowded or Birkenfest is crowded.
Yeah.
It was you still were able to move. And they were able to get everyone served and everyone got a taste of everything.
Well, I think the difference in this case that you can tell
right.
is that all of those things that you mentioned were fests. This is not a fest. This is an experience.
This is an experience. I stand
That's how
corrected.
You know.
You are right.
Let's see?
I
if
stand
it's a,
corrected.
If it's a fest, too many people.
Yep, you're
experience,
right.
Experience, just enough people. If they change it to the Food and Wine Fest, don't go.
But it gets unruly at that point.
Yeah, it's too much.
Way too much going on.
It's way too much. No fests.
No
experiences
festing.
There's
only. No festing.
No festing. No festing allowed.
No. But it was well laid out. There's plenty of room. It was held on.
Okay. I'm sorry to keep interrupting.
No, it's fine.
I have questions. Because unlike you, I'm homebound. I'm like Kathy Bates in Misery. I stay home and I beat authors to death.
Exactly. I was wondering what did you do to her?
She's not an author.
I know, but I didn't see what her ankles looked like.
So is it arranged kind of like a ring where there's a, it's more like a strip mall?
Well, I was getting to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But I was interrupted so rudely by you again.
Sorry.
It's held on the club level, which spans basically from left field to right field.
Okay.
So around center, around center plate, around home plate. Good Lord. Around home plate, and it's kind of would be, you'd be about 30 feet up from the playing field, and it's all enclosed, so you didn't have any open air or anything like that.
I would hope,
but plenty of glass to be able to see on both sides. So out to the into the ballpark, and then out to the city skyline. And it was. They have different clubs, you know, on this club level. So you have the Metropolitan Club, you have the Puckett Club, you have the Killebrew Club. I don't actually remember the names. If I can look real quick. You have the... come here. There we go. The Puckett Atrium.
It's an atrium. He's not worthy of a club.
Legends Club Concourse and the Crew Atrium.
Okay.
And they're all large areas, like larger than you would think, and they're perfect for events like this.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you enter into the center, and you can either go right or left, and there's nothing really organized past that. You know, you had an area that was strictly devoted to cheeses, which was
the cheese atrium, or as I think that's appropriately called, the Kent Herbeck atrium.
It was more of a wall than anything. It was the cheese wall.
The cheese wall.
Mm-hmm. Then you had an area that was specifically devoted to Washington State wines, which I thought was interesting, considering it was a Minnesota food and wine experience. Get where I'm going with that?
Okay. I understand the confusion, I'm just...
Right.
I've got no good explanation.
Well, it seems like, and this is kind of a gripe that I'll get into.
Yeah.
If you're going to say it's the Minnesota food and wine experience, and that it's a magazine that is specific to Minnesota...
Stormtroopers.
Okay, it was regional,
mm-hmm.
But Washington seems like a bit of a jump, a bit of a flight.
A bit, yeah.
You know, I'm fine with, they had a good chunk of area that was devoted to Wisconsin cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Where the best cheese is made. Honestly.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. I'm man enough to say that. Okay, maybe not man enough, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you have this massive jump out to Washington, and some of the wines that were in there wasn't anything big. It was just like the distributor that was hired to do that area just decided, hey, we're going to do it. Washington State wines. But it's not going to be anything that they hasn't seen before or can't get in their normal liquor store.
Okay.
It wasn't anything special.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a little bit of a letdown. I digress. I kind of broke it up into the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right.
Because...
And the ugly was your date, right? Well, I'm sorry, your mom's in Australia, so you probably went alone. My bad. I'm sorry.
We're going to forge through that.
Oh, come on. That was an easy one.
We're going to forge through that. But the thing that I noticed is that the things that were really good were really far up the spectrum of good. And the things that were bad were in the bottom of the barrel.
Well, I seem to remember, because you did this last year.
No, I didn't.
No, there was another one you did.
I did the Iron Fork, which was at International Market Square.
And I seem to remember you had that same kind of thing. And I wonder if it's just, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, you're kind of budding food snobbery.
My fooshbaggery.
Yes. Yeah.
My fooshbaggery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's part of that, where it's just, everything is either the best ever or the worst ever.
But it wasn't definitely that. The stuff that was good was really good, but the stuff that was bad... was like, why did you put that on the plate? There was stuff that was in the middle, and that was kind of the bad, but there was really ugly.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll let you...
There's some really big highlights for me. Redstone, which is out in Eden Prairie. It's a very
I love their ice cream.
I know you do.
Get them at the mall. Oh, it's not the same thing?
No.
No?
No, it's not.
Oh. Sorry.
You done interrupting me?
Never.
Okay. They did a wonton skin that had a little bit of arugula and a piece of seared tuna with a wasabi aioli over the top.
Okay.
So it had like a seared raw tuna on top of that.
Okay.
Just a small little bite of it. Oh, it was perfect. Like just enough wasabi on it that it didn't, it wasn't like that's all you tasted, but you were able to taste the texture and the black pepper that was on the tuna. It was very good. And then you had that crispiness of the wonton skin and the spiciness of the arugula. It was just paired together really, really well. Renata, where we're at right now.
Yes.
And Al Vento are kind of brother-sister restaurants. And I'll have you go into it a little bit more when your entree
when it
comes.
Arrives.
Is actually what I had from them yesterday. So we'll go back into that.
Okay.
Bell's Brewery had a very large
Michigan.
Stand from Michigan. Had a very large stand set up where they actually had a couple taps set up, but then they had all the stuff that they've made over the past year in bottles. You're just able to get a sample of everything, but the fact that they had stuff that you can't get all year round was really, really cool. It's like they saved a little bit of a reserve for it, you know. Hop Stand's been sold out for a while. I was able to get that yesterday.
Nice.
That
wouldn't surprise me, especially among the craft brewery
yep.
places where, you know, it's like any other, what's the word I'm looking for? Not artisanal, but any sort of craft.
That's
anything.
Okay. Yeah.
Where so much of their business is, especially nowadays, so much of the business is coming from festivals and experiences
yep.
and things like that, where, you know, there's more of a convention circuit for food now than I think there was maybe 5-10 years ago. And it wouldn't surprise me if they keep a special reserve just to bring to these
yeah.
festivals.
Why?
Sausage fennel pizza.
Thank you.
Pepper?
Well, I'll have a little. I need to get one of these giant ones.
You should.
The big novelty.
Exactly.
Would you like
just a little bit. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another cider? Or?
I'm good for right now.
I'm good for right now. Thank
all right,
you.
Enjoy.
That looks hotter than hell.
Now, I realize this is probably defaming the beautiful plate that was put before me. But every time I see bucatini needles, or noodles, not needles.
Alrighty.
I'd be scared if these were needles. You know, that's that thick pasta.
Yeah, it's like a really thick spaghetti.
Yeah.
I almost want to. They're kind of like udon noodles.
Kind of, yeah. But every time I see these, I think Chef Boyardee beefaroni. Because it's that kind of almost comically thick noodle.
I think that's kind of the basis for the beefaroni.
I'm sure there's a part of it. I'm sure.
Yeah, look at it. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look at it, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of appalling what you just said, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's much better than beefaroni. I'm just saying, just that when I see that thick a noodle.
We would hope.
Yeah.
We're going to hope.
I can only hope.
Yep.
I was never a big beefaroni fan. As a Chef Boyardee disciple, I was never a big, I was much...
It doesn't even make sense to me, like, what you just said. You can't be a habsy here.
Oh, you can.
You can't be like a half disciple. This is an all or nothing deal.
Yeah, well...
Christ didn't bring along the disciples that, you know, kind of believed in him.
I'm sure there were a couple extras.
You think so?
Oh, I'm sure.
Like George off in the back?
Yeah. Chauncey.
Stan. Stan and Bruce were back there?
Yeah. No, I've never been a big beefaroni fan. I've never been... I'm pretty much mostly a ravioli man myself. And it has to be...
The regular size.
The regular size, because the small is too small, and the overstuffed is just
too
wrong.
Much meat.
Because here's the problem.
It changes the meat, the sauce complexion.
the sauce is different, and the overstuffed highlights how shitty that beef is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The ratio is off.
The ratio is off, and it just highlights how really, like, de-prison grade beef that stuff is.
Now, when you treat yourself to it nowadays...
I don't think I've had Chef Boyardee in at least a year.
I will occasionally break it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things, I keep a can of it in the way back.
Mm-hmm.
But I always keep the big can, like the one that'll feed like three or four
How's
people.
Tasting?
Very good.
Great.
The one, you know, the one that that it's meant to feed like four or five kids,
mm-hmm.
or two adults.
Mm-hmm.
I'll easily pound that down.
So anyway, you're going down the
mm-hmm.
list.
Sorry,
we're talking about bells.
I know. Sorry.
I know. I'm just letting you. I'm recapping.
I'm having trouble with the cheese.
Apparently.
Sorry about that. So yeah, Bell's was really good. While we're on the topic of beer, and the Metropolitan Club, a huge, huge portion of an actual built-in bar was devoted strictly to Surly.
Not surprising.
They had, apparently on Saturday, they had many different types of types of Surly. By the time I got there on Sunday, there were only three types left. But they devoted basically like a portion of this terrace to Surly, and they had a lot of information regarding what they're trying to build, which is the essentially Surly restaurant.
Yeah,
be able to
the destination brewery.
The destination brewery, exactly.
I think is the term they're going for.
Yeah. But a lot of information. I saw Omar a couple times while we were there. So he was out in full force.
Did you talk to him at all?
No, I didn't. He was a bit busy with... he was schmoozing.
Hey, we're schmoozable.
We are, but we don't sign checks.
That's true. That is true.
We write a lot of checks that our asses can't cash.
Also true.
But that's about it. But he... But it was cool to see that, you know, the local, you know, the local food industry kind of getting behind that and really making a marketed effort to change that. And that was packed in that area. I mean, it was really, really, that might have been the busiest area that was in all day.
Mm-hmm.
That and the Wisconsin cheese area, which was a little strange, but... the Wisconsin cheese ball was very...
What's wrong with Wisconsin cheese?
Nothing, but seemed like that it was a really high traffic area.
People love their cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with cheese. In fact, I could use some more cheese on my bucatini.
Other big highlights were Eichton's, which is up near Taylor's Falls, Minnesota.
Okay.
They had a bunch of their buffalo cheeses, and then also buffalo sausage, which was fantastic.
Buffalo is fantastic.
I don't understand it. It's an ugly animal. It goes against our rule.
That is true.
Explain that to me. Maybe it's baby buffalo that tastes so good.
I think further research is required.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're right. You're right. That is a...
It bucks the trend.
A distinctive departure from the cuter the animal, the better the meat.
Yeah. The tender the meat.
Maybe. Maybe there's a genocide component to it.
I think maybe it's a died screaming type of deal.
Well, no, I'm just saying maybe there's an extinction.
Okay.
Maybe there's an extinction, you know, variable in there where somehow the fact that it is, you know, now I don't think buffalo is in any danger.
No.
Of going away, but there was a time when it was fairly uncommon. So maybe that somehow alters the DNA to just make it's the forbidden fruit gene. So,
what?
Where it makes it, you know, again, you know, the whole corollary of the. You know, if cuter the animal, the better beat. So koala is probably delicious. Koala, I think is fairly endangered. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. But you know, some sort of dolphin, I'm sure.
I bet dolphin's delicious.
I bet you dolphin's like butter.
Dolphin sushi.
I'm sure. I'm sure we could find some. We'd have to go to Japan to get it, I think. But
it's really terrible.
Instead of cruelty free, they just have cruelty full. It's just, it's...
This one was caught in an...
Extra cruel.
Caught like, in a net with the spear.
Yeah, it's like, here we have, you know, regular and extra crispy. They have regular and extra cruel.
Wow. Wow.
This one was pumped full of whiskey and then rustled. This one had its lungs filled with mercury.
Like, wow.
Why not?
This one died of lithium poisoning.
This one had its family killed in front of it. Oh. It's just something really terrible.
Mafia style.
Yeah, exactly.
With a bat.
With a bat, yes. Joe Pesci actually was flown in.
Exactly.
Wow. He's not doing much nowadays.
No, he's really not.
Yeah, he's just clubbing dolphins. No, I think there's something to this where there's an extinction element that makes the meat that.
I hope that you name this week's episode.
We need
Joe Pesci Club and Dolphin. That might actually get a lot of hits.
It might, very well could. But no, I think this requires further research. But anyway,
I agree. Other big highlights were Kramarczyk, which we've had done a show from.
Mm-hmm.
They brought along a bratwurst with a house-made mustard and then a smoked sausage.
Okay.
The smoked sausage was really fantastic. I mean, I literally might drop you off and go get some because it was that good. And I know it's one of those things that when I go to Kramarczyk's, I don't usually get. I usually just stick with the bratwurst because that's what I love there. But that smoked sausage was just like, where have you been all my life?
Okay, that's just fine. You can just let me.
That was really good. There's a new place that's opening up out in West End that we'll definitely have to hit up called Sopranos. And it's being headed by a fairly well-known local chef by the name of J.P. Samuelson.
No idea.
You know. No. But it's definitely has this kind of mafia flavor to it. It doesn't look nearly as cliche as you'd think it would.
We're not talking like the Hard Rock Cafe. Right.
No, not
the
talking like that.
Places.
But definitely is going to be that kind of Italian steakhouse type of feel.
Really? Okay.
Which I applaud. You know, a lot of old world recipes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like what we got at Yerusa Brothers.
Mm.
You know, something along the lines, but it's going to be a little bit more upscale.
It can only go up.
Well, yeah. The Russo Brothers is good.
It's very good, but
right.
Scale is not a
right.
But they did a consideration.
They did a spicy shrimp penne in a arrabbiata sauce. That was very good. They did instead of just your normal circular penne, it was like a tri penne. So it literally had three sides.
So they picked a different setting on the Play-Doh extruder.
Like, basically, it was. I'm like, I'm not even sure how you do this and where it would keep the shape. But sure enough, it did, and it was very, very.
You'd good. Have to extrude it.
And it was. Well, the other thing is that they were giving out the largest samples of it for everyone there. It was like literally like the same size plate that you just got at your meal.
Damn.
Yeah, big piece of that. Other good ones were Singing Hills, which is a goat farm. They had some herbed chavre.
Chavre.
Yeah, that was actually really good. The Yo-Yo Donuts. I don't know if you've heard of them before.
No, but I'm intrigued.
Yo-Yo Donuts. Their specialty are the filled Bismarcks.
I love me some filled donuts.
And they did actual full-size donuts as their samples.
Okay.
I had...
You had seven.
I had two types. I had the traditional Bavarian cream with the chocolate icing on top, which it's like, yeah, exactly. It's the Cadillac of donuts.
It is.
It really is. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
There's donuts and then there's that.
Yeah, I will give you that.
And it was probably the quintessential, like, I had a fresh Dunkin' Donuts cream-filled Bismarck out in Boston, the home of Dunkin' Donuts, fresh out the damn fryer. This was better.
Wow.
Yeah. The cream was better. The icing was really, really, really good. And the actual pastry was very flaky. They did the same thing. They did a kind of a buttercream topping. Okay. Key lime flavor.
That's pretty wicked.
Yeah. A key lime Bavarian cream. just let that mellow. And then they crushed a little bit of graham cracker crumble on top of it.
Where is this place?
I don't know.
Are you sure it wasn't like...
It wasn't in my dreams, I know that.
Oh, I was going to say, are you sure it's not like Brigadoon where it only shows up like once every 20 years or something like that?
Oh, it wasn't. That was out of this world.
Wow.
Then one of the more unique things that I had was Cosmos, which is downtown Minneapolis, and I believe it's in 601 Graves Hotel.
Yes.
They had this little tiny cocktail that was with lychee juice.
Okay.
And then they had a grape disc.
Okay.
Bear with me. It was like a white grape flavored disc that you drink the lychee juice. You let that, and then you let this little grape disc sit in your tongue, and then you let you push the disc with your tongue to the roof of your mouth, and the whole thing explodes and completely changes the complexion of the entire drink.
See, I don't like drinks with steps. You know, I mean that's one of the big things why. I mean, I can appreciate like. I look at the whole big absinthe craze from a few years ago. And you had to have the spoon, and you had to have the sugar, and you had to do all that stuff. And I like watching people do that, but I will drink that same absinthe right out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to have to do stuff to drink.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, I get why that would be an interesting experience. You know, that seems to be the watchword of the show is experience. But I can't, I guess. I don't know, I guess that's one of those things where you do it once and then that's not something that's like you're just sitting on the couch. It's like, you know what, I'm going to get, honey, fetch me my white grape discs.
I can't even tell. They were really busy because they were literally folding these things over. As quickly as I could get them out there. But it was definitely one of the more unique things that I had had. Moving on from the good, we'll go to the bad. Kind of going back to the actual name of the thing. It should be, it's a wine festival with some food. Wine is definitely the highlight there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going there thinking you're going to get all these different types of food, yeah, you're going to get that. But the wine, it's a 2-to-1 ratio, wine to food.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that were kind of...
Before we go past that, why do you think that is? Because to me it makes sense because it's, you know, wine is easily sampleable.
And less work.
It's a lot less work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, to me, these festivals are more the, I go, or experiences, excuse me, are, you go, you find places, and then you buy stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to a convention, when I go to a comic convention or a game convention, I'm not necessarily going to see, you know, while it's cool that I find, like, an artist that I like, or a line that I like, or something like that. That's great. I mean, I may go back, you know, when I get home and look up that person or look up that company. But I'm going there to buy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get away with buying 6, 8, 10 bottles of wine that you like. You can't buy a couple plates of, you can maybe buy a dozen of the donuts, but, you know, there's very little take home.
Think about how much more expensive it is to produce food than it is to produce wine.
Oh, yeah.
Wine, you basically have the grapes and the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, you might have some additives.
It's all time.
But it's all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all... but if time is not an issue, it's much cheaper to produce. That being said, it's a wine festival with some food.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things that was kind of more of a turnoff than anything else.
Okay.
Cub and Costco, and then one of the Cub brands, Deluso.
Okay.
Had very large stands there.
Okay.
Which I'm fine with. They are large producers to a lot of these restaurants in town.
Mm-hmm. And they're probably a huge sponsor of the
Right. Yeah. Agreed. That being said, it was kind of odd. You'd see the, like, these nice wine booths set up, and then you have this giant Costco sign.
And, you know, I've heard,
and some guy that looked really, really out of the place trying to push Costco memberships.
Well, yeah, that's always,
that was,
that's always,
that was,
that's
really
trouble.
Weird to me.
I have heard, though, and you actually live near a Costco, mm-hmm. so I've never actually been in a Costco, so I can't attest this, but I've heard that as long as you're not really picky, Costco has really good wine for fairly cheap.
I've never been in a Costco wine center.
Okay, because I've heard from people that know wine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy out in California who's a wine, among his many other things, he's a wine columnist.
Okay.
And he swears by Costco wine. Like, he loves that place.
Yeah. That's, I suppose that's okay.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, if you're looking for cheap wine, it's a saying.
The other thing that kind of put me off is that some of the wine guys were marketing their wine, so, oh, this will pair really well with what might be a food booth next to them.
Okay.
So there's a Tex-Mex place in St. Louis Park. The name escapes me right now, and I wish I could remember. But they were,
we'll
doing
call it Cactus Jacks.
But they were. I like that. Huh. Why don't we? We should open it. That would be big.
Yes, because that's all we never need to do is think of the name. There's right. No other work involved.
No,
with
that's a winning name as far as I'm concerned. Cactus Jacks had turkey chili.
Okay.
With a little bit of like a cornbread crostini on top of it.
Okay.
It was actually fairly good. This wine douche. That, I'm not even kidding you, because the guy, we're literally, I'm standing in line.
Which is funny, because don't douches normally have vinegar in them?
Yeah, I do.
So it kind of works.
I do.
That's disgusting. I apologize.
You done?
No, never.
Good Lord. Grab this. Have a bite of the chili, and this guy literally kind of pulls me over. He's like, oh, this wine will go really well with that chili. Believe me. I'm like, okay, it's a red wine.
Yeah. You know, I just like don't think wine and chili should go together. It's just...
It can. But
to me,
not
that's,
this
to,
one.
To me, that's Aladdin and Jasmine.
Because
it's, like,
this guy,
it's two different social strata.
Didn't know quite what he was serving.
Oh, nice.
And obviously had not tasted the chili. The chili was spicy and had, you know, all these different layers of flavor. His wine,
mm-hmm.
or as I like to call it, his liqueur, tasted like a chocolate and cherry Tootsie Roll pop.
Which goes with nothing.
Exactly. It was about as big of a contrast in flavors as you can get.
Really?
It was almost off-putting, and I threw the rest of the wine out. Thank God it was only like a sample pour. You know, barely an ounce.
Yeah.
But even then, I couldn't get through like another two sips of it.
Wow.
It was terrible. Just terrible. While we're on the subject of terrible, I'll wrap this up quickly.
Yeah, that's fine.
One thing that was not good to me, Muddy Paws, which is a well-known cheesecake place in town.
Yeah.
They had a stand set up. No samples.
Well, that's just poor planning.
That's what I'm saying.
Was the plan to not have any samples, or were they just out?
I think they were either out, but there was nobody even standing at the stand. They just had this display.
Hmm.
It was very odd. It was disappointing because I'd never had it before.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things that, you know, as I was reading through the website, I was like, I'd really like to, I love cheesecake.
Yeah.
That's the place to get cheesecake in town. Yep. That was disappointing. There were a lot of mom and pop type places peddling their wares.
Uh-huh.
You know, more of their foodstuffs than anything else.
Okay.
Cookie mixes and popcorn mixes and seasonings and barbecue sauces, which I'm fine with barbecue sauces, like the homemade salsas and stuff like that. That I'm cool with. Lazy Susie cookie mix. It was really bad. It was like this dry, it was a gluten-free cookie.
Oof.
Which is like crime against humanity as far as I'm concerned. It's just, it should not be allowed. It was just this dry, almost metallic flavoring. I'm not even kidding when I say it was kind of metallic flavoring. Chocolate chip cookie, in quotations.
Hmm.
And I had to have a lot of water after that one. It just was really bad. The other thing is the Au Bon Pain. Is that Au Bon Pain?
Yeah, Au Bon Pain.
Yeah. Had a...
Which is a chain.
Which is a chain. Had a stand there. And we're doing sandwiches and whatnot.
Okay.
And I thought that that was... I thought that that was weird because it was the only chain that was there.
Mm-hmm.
I get where they were... That they do some artisanal type
stuff. No, they don't. They're terrible.
They are terrible.
No, there is...
I've never eaten there.
The breakfasts are lame. Like, terrible. Okay. Just... Like, I would prefer McDonald's breakfasts.
Well, that's not saying much because I love McDonald's breakfasts.
Well, I think by and large McDonald's is pretty lame. I think in the McDonald's Burger King trifecta, which is a twofecta, Burger King will win out.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, this is a discussion.
The discussion for later time. Thank you.
We're focusing on the horribleness of Au Bon Pain. But yeah, the breakfasts are just really not good.
Yeah.
I'm talking they're made to order because they'll do like bagel sandwiches and things like that. Because there's an Au Bon Pain in the Skyway.
Right near your place.
Right where
it's
where
like
I work.
The same building, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's one of the few places open mm-hmm. when I get there because I get there fairly early. And there isn't a whole lot of like fast food places Thank in you. My building. So I'll sometimes go there to get something to eat if I miss breakfast. So the made to order sandwich is terrible. The ready-made, you know, pre-made pastries and donuts, to a man, like, every single one of them is greasy.
Really? Donuts should never be greasy.
Yeah, it's like... almost oily. Like it's like they use like the worst croissant like pastry dough. That's just it's just oily and it just ugh, it's just terrible. And see here's the real sign
yeah.
of how bad Au Bon Pain is. And I know I've talked about this on the show before. Sometimes I will go there in the morning simply to get a Mountain Dew in the morning. Like, I need a bottle of Mountain Dew in the morning. If I don't have any cash and, I can't use the vending machine at work, I'll go there on my way. It's $2.19 for fucking 20 ounce, but,
You have a need.
Once you
get the itch, you gotta scratch it.
What was the old line with, Dennis Leary talking about warning labels on cigarettes? He's just like, it could be in a black pack with a skull and crossbones on it, I'll still fucking buy it. It doesn't matter. It's just, I need it. So it's $2.19, but somehow they actually make Mountain Dew taste bad.
Really?
Like, it's somehow the horribleness has infected it through the bottle. And honestly, if you give me a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew...
You realize this is kind of crazy.
I realize this.
Okay.
But give me a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew bought at a convenience store and one bought at Au Bon Pain, and I will be able to tell you where you got it. I'm not even kidding.
Now, challenge accepted.
That's fine.
Challenge accepted.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And they never refrigerate the damn things. They're always room temperature, which is like the worst way to serve Mountain Dew.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. But
I'm going out of my way to do this now. Next week we're doing this.
No, Au Bon Pain is terrible. I've never liked anything they've got. Their rainbow cookies, which are like them with M&Ms in it, like they're just like kind of
the house made M&Ms.
Yeah. Those will get you by, but it's like a buck and a half for Chips Ahoy quality. So it's like it's no good. Sorry, I have a deep ingrained.
Apparently,
I have an animosity.
Are you okay? Need a hug or something?
I'd be fine if there was anything else open, because pretty much my options are either that or Caribou.
Yeah.
Which
you're not gonna do Caribou.
Which I don't mind Caribou. I went there this morning. In fact, I got an Odwalla.
I was a little scared you were gonna say I got a coffee.
No.
Exactly. It was like, who are you and what have you done with my co-host?
And what I'll give to Caribou is they have something called a French toast muffin.
Their breakfasts are good.
That French toast muffin is 17,000 calories.
Are you kidding?
I usually
get the turkey bacon, the spinach, and protein.
I avoid hot sandwiches that aren't made by hand in the morning. Because they just microwave them and they're fine, but if I can avoid
them. Have you had the spinach? I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
But,
kind of hurting my feelings, but that's my standby because it's fairly low fat.
For me, it's not above frozen Jimmy Dean quality.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. But no, that French Toast Muffin.
It's a Cadillac and Jimmy Dean.
That French Toast Muffin is amazing. Like, I think I need a cigarette afterwards. It's so awesome. But it is horrible for you. Like, okay. I'm doing the Weight Watchers. We talked about this before.
Yeah, we're both doing it now.
The French Toast Muffin is 14 points.
Not the front door.
I am dead serious. Okay. That is, honestly, it has to be 1,000 calories. I'm not even kidding. And it's like 70 grams of fat. So I'd rather have a Whopper. A Whopper is more healthy than that freaking muffin is.
Well, a Whopper is like 22 calories, but at least you're getting...
22 grams of fat, you mean?
Yeah.
It's 22 calories.
Like 22 points, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's probably closer to 30.
I have not actually had Burger King since I got on Weight Watchers, so...
It's probably a good thing.
Which for me is a...
an accomplishment.
An accomplishment, yes. Because I love me some Burger King.
I know you do.
Anyways,
I have one last thing to broach here.
Alright.
Because it was so offensive to me. It was quite possibly one of the worst things I've ever put in my mouth. And I put some horrible things in my mouth.
And you were a theater major.
And I was
so.
A theater major, exactly. Okay. That being said, there's a place out in Loretto called
Who the fuck is Loretto?
West.
Oh, of course.
It's out the
what? It sounds like a flavor of Marlboro.
Western Minnesota, exactly.
Of course, it's out west.
The Loretto
wherever
lights.
Wherever you are, Loretto is west.
Exactly.
Of you.
Well, west of the cities.
Okay.
I don't know the exact specifics of it. It's west of Plymouth. I know that.
Isn't that where they set Lonesome Dove? Anyway, go ahead.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
I'll bring up the Hallmark classic.
Good
movies.
Lord. A place called Bistro 11. Out there.
Okay.
And their big thing, as I was standing in line, this chef is talking to everyone. He's like, yeah, we do all local ingredients, and we use sustainable ingredients, and we try to buy from local growers and local vendors. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. What is it? It's a wild mushroom panna cotta.
Huh.
Now, you had a panna cotta last week.
I did.
Explain what that was.
Well, the one I had last week was a key lime panna cotta, which, and I don't know enough about how they make them.
No, but...
As far as I know, they're hatched.
Right.
But
you can give an idea of what it is.
Yeah, it's like a custard.
Right.
You know, it's got a little bit of wobble to it, a little bit of pull to it.
Sweet.
It's normally sweet.
Yeah.
This is not the first savory panna cotta I've ever heard of, though.
Right.
So that's not that shocking.
Right.
But yeah, mushroom panna cotta, I can't see that working.
I spit it back into my spoon and then promptly threw it in the garbage. It was topped with a ricotta cream on top of it.
That strikes me as something that...
With a little bit of arugula on the top of it as well.
That strikes me as something that an Iron Chef would come up
it
with.
It was really vile. It was... The mushroom flavor was really pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
And the panna cotta was... You know, I know what panna cotta tastes like. I know what I know the texture.
Yeah.
I know what... I've only had sweet panna cotta. And I was prepared for it.
Yeah.
But the mushroom flavor was just so much.
There's a lot. There was a lot.
It was just way, way too much.
Yeah.
That it was almost, you got it in your mouth and you tried to, you know, move it around your mouth a little bit. And just could not swallow it. It was just really awful. Like, I felt like I needed to take a spoon and scrape it off my tongue.
Any thoughts on dessert?
I think we're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything else to drink or satisfied?
I'm good.
I think we're good. Right. Thank you. So that being said, we will probably not be doing a show from Bistro 11 in Loretto.
Unless they're willing to comp us.
And not serve me that. Wild mushroom.
They probably have something else.
Panna cotta. Yeah, I actually looked at the their menu. The menu looks actually fairly good, and which was shocking to me that they would come with that, because the stuff that the stuff that's on their menu does not lead me to panna cotta, and
it's a wild mushroom
panna cotta at that.
Yeah,
it's. The menu is actually quite surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I would have brought 15 different things on their menu before I got to that.
It was
a misstep, and I think it went back to what's easiest to make.
Yeah.
What's easiest to bring.
Panna cotta would be fairly easy.
I understand that point, and it was probably a lot easier than anything else on their menu, but holy crap, was it bad.
All right.
So, all in all, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I had a good time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice night.
You too.
Great venue. I definitely think it was worth the $75 that I paid to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at the time when I bought it, seemed a little steep.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the food is, that's all the food, that's all the drink, beers, wines, the whole kit and caboodle.
Oh, shoot, match.
It really was a good deal. And it was kind of crappy out yesterday, so it was kind of a nice respite to an otherwise normal Sunday.
It's a big word for you.
And I used it correctly.
You did. And you pronounced it
which
better.
Which is even more amazing.
I'm impressed all the way around.
Well, you know, I'm starting to carry this show, you know? Just putting it on my back.
Yeah, I wouldn't give you that.
Putting it on my back and just riding it off in the sunset.
You know what? I already made fun of your mother once, the show. Not gonna even take that one. So,
especially since she's like a half a world away.
Well, what's she gonna do then?
She can't defend herself.
She knows where to find me. Anyway. Before we give the final verdict, I do want to bring up something very special to our hearts that I have not told you about. Because literally this has materialized in the last 12 hours.
Okay.
Our good friend over at Heavy Table, James Norton.
Okay.
And several of the other writers, and I do not remember which ones, so I apologize to them. They've come together and put forth a book about Minnesota lunches.
Yeah.
There's a new book coming out. It's actually out now.
Yep, I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, Minnesota Lunch, from Pasties to Banh Mi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cookbook as well as, you know, just kind of a general culinary exploration of Minnesota.
It's a big word for
it's
you.
It's an experience.
Yeah. Jesus, we're going to beat that one to the ground, aren't we?
That I am. It's an exploration of Minnesota lunch food. So
okay.
Sandwiches and kind of things like that.
Banh Mi's.
It looks very cool.
Yeah.
And we've got a copy to give away.
Really?
To one of our listeners. Yep.
If it makes it that far?
No, it shipped today. It shipped today. Huh. So it will be in my hot little hands. So, and we got some okay success with this when we did something very similar on yet another gaming show, which is our video game show. What I want to do is I want to raise our iTunes ranking.
Okay.
And the best way to do that is to have people review us on iTunes. So from this point, it is March 7th today.
Yeah.
If you give us a review, just if you use iTunes, just do a search for Well-Fed Guide to Life. If you review us on iTunes between now and March 21st, you got 2 weeks.
Yep.
We'll pick a random person who entered that in, and we will get your contact info, and we will send you a free copy of the book signed by James Norton and any of the other writers he can find.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
I haven't actually talked to him about the signing yet, but I think he'll go for it. He was trying
not
to
if I keep talking ill about him.
He was trying to angle himself back on the show.
Okay. Oh, so, he's trying to get food out of it.
I think that's what it is.
God damn it.
Because I mentioned
he's
that
he's a shyster is what he is.
I mentioned that I picked him up. He's like, yeah, and I'd love to come on the show and talk about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you would.
Bitch, yeah.
No, we love James.
We'll see what you're doing next week.
But yeah, so review us on iTunes. It can be bad, can be good, doesn't matter.
Right.
In fact, I'd almost prefer it if there were some constructive criticism in there as well. You know, we want to know how we can do it.
I mean, I know I talk softly, but give us some.
No one's that upset about that.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
But if we're tell us why we're wrong.
Tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah, you are so wrong.
You are very wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have until March 21st.
Yep.
I would say by noon. Noon, March 21st, Central Time.
Noonish.
To leave a review, and we'll be entered, and we will decide. Maybe we'll plan to have James on that show.
Okay.
So maybe he can decide. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
So again, find us on iTunes, review us, and you'll be entered to win a free copy of a of Minnesota Lunches from Pasties to Bon Me. So, final verdict.
I thought it was excellent. I loved my beet salad, and I loved the fennel sausage on top of the pizza that I had that I didn't talk anything about.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but it was a fennel sausage pizza with fresh mozzarella. Good balance.
And more fennel, because there was like fennel on the pizza, too.
If I belch right now, I'm going to blow you in the next week at this point.
He's going to belch fennels. Yep. This whole fennel, whatever a fennel
fond.
Is. What?
Fennel fonds.
Is it fond?
I believe so. Fond?
It's just not a bulb?
Well, it's
it looks bulbish.
You look bulbish.
Good one, wordsmith.
Yep. But I thought it was nice to get both a salad and the pizza, because the pizza, they were very, very contrasting flavors, but kind of gave you a good idea of what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the restaurant has to offer, and I thought it was very good. Enjoyed the hell out of my drink as well. So, even though it was a very, very girly drink, I enjoyed it very much.
Excellent.
And more than one, they went down real, real smooth.
Much like you will be later.
Exactly. Like, I could easily have done 4 or 5 more of those bad boys.
And then I'd be walking
home. Exactly. Exactly. I nearly sucked the alcohol out of the lemon twist that was in there.
Wow. I think you have a problem.
You're just figuring this out now?
Yeah, that's true. My cider was very good, as I mentioned. The Bucatini was interesting. I guess if I had to make any sort of criticism for it, it seemed like it was just missing a little something.
Okay.
Either maybe a little more cheese, a little more strong meat flavor.
It had pancetta in it, right?
It did, but I barely tasted it.
So it needed more pancetta.
All I tasted was red pepper flakes.
Okay.
It wasn't bad.
No.
Like, it wasn't, like, I'm not, like, it wasn't like a, like, biting into a jalapeno accidentally,
right,
kind of, you know, disquieting, but it was pretty much all I could taste. So, I don't know if that was just an execution issue or a recipe thing. You had it at the...
I had it yesterday,
experience.
And it was very good, and it had large chunks of pancetta in it.
Yeah,
I mean, large chunks.
I didn't notice that.
You were almost surprised at how big the chunks of pancetta were.
Yeah, I did not have that. But it was, I mean, other than that, I mean, I think it was executed well. That the pasta was very tender, which is always a worry with the thick noodles, because I mean that's the thing. It's not like it's a penne or even like a rigatoni where it's big noodles but they're hollow.
Mm-hmm.
This is solid.
I mean, this
is probably about the size, the width of a pencil, and solid.
It's beefaroni size.
It's beefaroni size. Yeah. Well, beefaronis are hollow.
That's true.
So. But yeah, so you always worry about cooking it because it either becomes mush or just hard.
Just once, I want to go to an Italian restaurant where we don't reference Chef Boyardee.
It can't be done.
Create a credibility out
Bartlett
the window.
Barbara Grassa, sort of.
I think we brought it up.
Did we?
I think we did.
Oh well. But no, I think it was fine. I think it was. For me, it was just the red pepper flakes. It was just too strong. The thing that kills me about this menu, and the good thing about this place is that I can tell it's going to be a constantly rotating menu, constantly,
yep,
you know, daily thing. The thing that kills me about this menu is that in just about everything offered, there was like one deal breaker for me. It was either olives or pine nuts, and we've talked about pine nuts before, and mushrooms, and it's just like there was never any... I think the closest they did have like a spaghetti with meatballs, but it's just like, you know, I don't want to have to be...
Unless we're going to like an old world style, you know.
I don't want to have to be relegated to the kids menu.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a straight spaghetti meatball, that's kids menu to me.
Right. Yeah. Although when it's done well...
Oh no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I don't want that to be my only choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize part of this is just my own dietary goofiness, where it's like I don't like, you know,
it's icky.
Traditional Italian without mushrooms or olives, that gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
But
you just need to grow up, grow a set.
Says the man with the bright red drink.
It was awesome, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So overall, though, I think I would totally recommend it. And the one advantage that this place has over a lot of places in Uptown, parking in the back.
Damn Skippy.
So
damn Skippy.
That's like plus 30 points.
Exactly,
right there.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yes.
Especially, and it was plowed.
Yes. It
Considering
was.
It snowed last night, it was plowed.
Yes.
Amen.
So credit to them.
That was one of the best. You know, we drove right. It wasn't easy to find. You really have to be looking for it if you're familiar with the area. It's on Hennepin. If you're heading south, it'll be on your left-hand side, just south of Red Savoy, almost
yes.
of Old Chicago. Just south of.
We're a bit ways from Old Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And south of like Liquor Lyles and things
yeah.
like that. But you really have to be looking for it. It's right next to there's a Lolette Bakery right next door.
Yeah.
But you could easily blow it right past the son of a gun.
Yeah.
So we had to double back at it. And they have a big sign that says parking in the back, and that was like this little ray of sunshine, like everything's coming up Millhouse.
That's right. I still want that phrase to take traction.
You need it.
Everything's
coming
up Millhouse.
On a shirt, but you're probably going to get sued.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Simpsons, by and large, don't like bootleg products. Just general.
Although I did buy a shirt that has a South Park phrase on it, and it's not, South Park doesn't look
maybe
like
maybe if we had a picture of Nixon.
Probably.
And everything's coming up Millhouse.
Yeah.
That might work. I think there's
I
something
to
this.
I can see the Nixon family probably getting angry.
Yeah, I could give a shit.
They're everywhere.
They're like lichens.
They are.
Like, no.
Lemmings?
I was going to say lichen.
Gremlins.
Lichen. Lichens are the werewolves in the Underworld series. That's not...
I wonder where you're going with this.
I meant lichens. Anyway.
Talk about me beating a dead horse.
Moving on. The Well-Fed Guide to Life is brought to you in part by HopChart.com. Not just Dave, but both of us. We're both brought to us by HopChart.
Just
yeah.
Just
says
me.
The man with the Prosecutini.
You got a cider.
Hey, I'll bet you my cider's listed. So
challenge accepted.
All right. So yeah, HopChart.com. We dig them. We need to get Andrew back on the show.
We do.
We haven't seen. I haven't talked to him in a while.
We have a lot of. I think we have a lot of guests in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, probably. As always, we welcome questions, comments, restaurant suggestions, all those places to wellfed@fancymansgangsters.com. We also recommend you review us on iTunes. Again, we've got the deal for the Minnesota Launches book.
Mm-hmm.
Read the if you missed it, first off, where the hell were you? But second off, just check the show notes for full details on that. But yeah, review us on iTunes. We do have Twitter, twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg, Well-Fed Guide to Life on Facebook, and also on Foursquare, which I just realized we didn't check into yet.
I'm on it.
Well, thank you. Also on Foursquare, just do Well-Fed Guide. On behalf of Dave, thank you very much for listening.
That's me.
And if you talked to Dave, or you talked to a man looking like Dave at the Food & Wine Experience, email us, and we'd love to talk to you, because I'd rather our better talker involve you. That wasn't even grammatically correct
wow.
what I just said. I suck. Thank you for listening.